Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this worship service on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Vaughn Borg, and it is an honor to be here with you today, to be asked by Pastor Paul to fill in while he and Eileen are away on, I'm sure, a much appreciated vacation. It's my understanding that they will be home this evening, and Pastor Paul will be back in the office on Tuesday. Have any of you been following the Olympics this last week? A few out there. Karen and I are huge fans, and we've been watching it almost every evening. And just for your reassurance, my sermon length today is more like Katie Ledecky's 1,500-meter record swim rather than a marathon. This is the season of Pentecost. In the Christian calendar is also known as the ordinary time. In a liturgical year, church year, ordinary is not meant as mundane or less important, but rather different. It's differentiated from the extraordinary time, from Advent through Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, and Easter. During the extraordinary time, we celebrate what God has done to bring his new creation to us through Christ. In this season of Pentecost, this ordinary time, we celebrate what God does to empower us to live out the gospel day to day in the context of our ordinary lives. I'll be talking more about this during our sermon as we focus on that most ordinary of sustenance that God provides, our daily bread. In your bulletin are just a couple of announcements today I will draw attention to. The Taking Five scripture and prayer this week is from 1 Kings chapter 19. I encourage you to take time every day for meditation and prayer. And then next Sunday, we'll be taking an offering and continued support for POST. POST is our sponsored student from the House of Love Ministry to attend university for her nursing degree. Please prayerfully consider how you may contribute to her ongoing education. Are there any other announcements this morning? Do I have confirmation that we are not starting the Wednesday Bible studies this week?
Right.
Correct. Okay, so that will be coming later, but not this week. With no other announcements, let us begin our worship today with our prayer of invocation. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you provided manna for the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness to the land you had promised, give us confidence to trust in you and to look to your hand to provide all we need for this life and for the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 4 and 9 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Our second lesson, scripture reading, is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. Then they found him on the other side of the lake. They said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has sent his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. While working in Germany in support of the children and families of the U.S. military, Karen and I had the opportunity to attend the Army Chapel on base for our worship. One Sunday when it was our turn for coffee and it was a Protestant chapel. Of course we had to have coffee after the service with treats. We showed up early to get set up. I think we brought banana bread. If Karen remembers it differently, I'm sure she'll let me know after the service. Regardless, even if it wasn't banana bread, well, it should have been, because it makes for better stories, since that fits with my sermon title today of Our Daily Bread. The Army chaplain was the only other person there so far and was preparing for the service. Bless his heart, Chaplain Copeland looked terrible that morning, like he had been up all night, which in fact we had found out he had been up all night. He told me that as the chaplain on duty, it was his responsibility and that he had been dealing with several domestic violence incidents as well as several drunk and disorderly incidents involving soldiers and family members all night long. He was exhausted, both physically and emotionally. You could just see it on his whole being, a bit disheveled. But worse than that, he was concerned that the other worship service leader hadn't shown up that morning yet. Chaplain Copeland thought that the other chaplain leader had the sermon for that morning, but was becoming afraid that in his fatigue, he may have mixed up the dates. Chaplain Copeland shared his concern with me, saying, "I read over the gospel for this morning several times, and I got nothing. I got nothing." I sat down in the pew and I read over the gospel lesson. After a few minutes, I leaned over to Karen and told her that I was going to offer to preach that morning. Not anything I'd ever done. Her loving response to me was, "What have you got to say?" Undeterred, I offered Chaplain Copeland to provide the sermon that morning, as it was a scripture that I was familiar with and a message that I had already thought about. He was relieved, Karen was supportive, and I was excited for the opportunity. Okay, this part I'm not particularly proud of, but there have been many times over the years while listening to the pastors delivering their sermon that I have found my mind, myself daydreaming. Has this ever happened to anyone else? Now, if it's happening to you right now, please don't raise your hand. Anyway, most often when my mind starts wandering during a sermon, I find myself rewriting the sermon. In my head, I change the message. As the pastor is preaching, I'm thinking about how I could change it into something I find more interesting, at least to me. That's where I had become familiar with the scripture, and for that morning, I had already thought about its message. Now, since coming here to the North Shore and to UP Church, I have confessed this distraction to Pastor Paul in the past. And I believe he's forgiven me, as evidenced by his invitation to stand before you here this morning. One of my favorite compliments to share with Pastor Paul as we shake hands on our way out from the service is to tell him that today's message was so good that I didn't need to rewrite it. So let's fast forward to this week. Usually when I prepare to lead a worship service, I start by looking at the assigned scripture from the common lectionary for that Sunday in the liturgical year. The gospel lesson for this 11th Sunday in Pentecost, as read by Karen this morning, is from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. As I first read and reread these verses where Jesus proclaims, "I am the bread of life," I thought to myself, and in fact I shared with Karen, "I got nothing. I got nothing." And then Karen's words came back to me as I thought, what do I have to say? What do I have to say about the bread of life that might make sense for today that you haven't already heard 100 times in your life? Hoping maybe some further context might help, I look back at the beginning of chapter 6 in John, where Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. When all the people gathered had eaten their fill, the disciples gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. The people, seeing the sign which had been done, said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The crowd was apparently so moved by this miracle that they were about to come and take Jesus by force to make him their king. So he withdrew himself to the mountains. The next set of verses in chapter 6 has the disciples getting into the boat at evening to cross the sea to Capernaum. Jesus hadn't come to them yet, but the disciples left anyway. Then during the night, during their night crossing, the sea rose as a strong wind blew, and they were afraid. Then the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea and saying to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." So the lead up to our verses for this morning's gospel is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water during the storm. The people who had just stuffed themselves with bread and fish and not knowing how Jesus left, because they'd been watching, how he left without a boat, went themselves to Capernaum to find Jesus. When they found him, the people were looking for answers and probably another free meal. Jesus exposes them, saying, "You are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." And then the people in the crowd asked a very interesting and powerful question to Jesus, saying, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And that's when I got it. That's when I figured out what message God had for me to share with you this morning. The people in today's lesson and maybe not so different from us gathered here today. We're looking for their daily bread like Moses had provided manna to their ancestors. Or we're looking for a reassuring sign or miracle from God. Or looking for a king to protect and to lead them through difficult times. But Jesus' good news for them and for us here today is the promise that God already has got that taken care of. Jesus said to them and to us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When we realize that God has and will continue to provide for us all that we need, we are freed up to do the work of God, which is to believe in Jesus, whom God the Father has sent. Now, this word believe that Jesus used is a verb. It's an action word. To believe in Jesus, whom God has sent, means for us to respond out of love to that promise. We love not to gain God's love, but because God first loved us. We are free to forgive others because God forgives us first. We are free to serve others because God first gives us our daily bread. As I was preparing for today's worship service and struggling over a lesson from John's Gospel this morning, I remember Chaplain Copeland and the message from that Sunday almost 12 years ago. Honestly, it wasn't the message that I preached. I don't remember that. But I came to realize that the real good news delivered that Sunday was Chaplain Copeland's ministry in the dark of the night to the distressed, to the scared, to the confused, to the lonely. Those who wandered in the wilderness of fear and shame that evening, Chaplain Copeland was there to demonstrate Christ's love to them through his acting out of his faith. Just when they were at their most vulnerable, when they were their least worthy, yet in greatest need, when they were at the most hungry for the grace of God, Chaplain Copeland proclaimed the love, grace, and mercy of the bread of life by his presence there with them that evening. The people asked, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Each of us in our own way are involved in our own journey, our own wandering in the wilderness, which we hope will bring us closer to God. Fortunately, God in his graciousness has provided for us to be nourished during this spiritual pilgrimage. Even as God gave the ancient Israelites manna for their journey of faith, so he gives us our daily bread for our journey of faith. Today, we gather at the Lord's table to partake in the gift of Christ's body and blood through the bread and wine to sustain us both physically and spiritually. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.